Hi, everybody. This is the Podcasting with Librarians, from our shelves to your ears. We have Montgomery Lopez. He is the YA librarian for the Miami-Dade Public Library System since 2008. For the past 11 years, he has hosted two personal podcasts, The Monster Sci-Fi Show and Page 49. Recently, he worked with U Media Miami at South Dade Regional to create podcast workshops for teens. David Hildenbrand is a public services librarian for the Miami-Dade Public Library System. He has been a member and chairperson of the SECLM Virtual Conference Committee and is always looking forward to seeing new technology trends. And then Josh Stone is the Director of Digital Services for SECLM and a former collection development librarian for the Palm Beach County Library System. He has been a regular guest on the Palm Beach County Library System's podcast and host of his own podcast, which is not affiliated with any library system. Librarians Assemble. Librarians Assemble features librarians who are passionate about comics and how they use that passion to promote comics in their communities.
I'm kind of curious to see, has anyone, of course I'm hoping, everyone's heard about podcasting or podcasts?
I heard
about it too. So one of the cool things that I want to find out is that what you guys are interested about. Game of Thrones, like knitting, cooking. What is it you're passionate about? I mean, we have our own reasons, which we'll talk about in a month, but I'm just kind of curious. Is anyone here interested in doing their own podcast?
Who does their own podcast now? Does anybody do their own podcast besides?
Has anybody ever been on a podcast?
Oh, I've been on one.
She's been on one. You've been on a podcast?
I participated in a podcast before to promote our library programs.
Okay.
And, you know, he posted on that Facebook and everybody knows about the future program that we will have.
Okay. And which branch, which library system?
Palm Beach. Company.
Palm Beach. Okay. I was curious to see what our competition is going to be.
Yeah, I noticed we got left out there.
So one of the cool things that I want to see, and hopefully we can inspire you, is that you, all of you, can do a podcast. We all have experience. I mean, collectively, like 20 years of experience. I've been doing this since 2006. So I want to get you excited about our experiences. If you have questions, we have answers.
And so we already covered what is a podcast. You already know who can podcast. You can all podcast. So what do you need to do a podcast? You need something that can record and save your information. Personally, with my own personal podcast, I use a digital voice recorder. I save everything onto this. Everything goes from all my mics onto my mixers. I'll show you a picture of that later. And it goes right into this. This will never fail. Computer will fail. This is always pretty good. There's different types of setups you can do. But why do a podcast? Several reasons. You can inspire. You can entertain. If you want to do solely, you can have them internal for your own staff. Miami-Dade Public Library System, we did one for new young adult librarians. Usually, entry-level librarians get stuck into that position. So what do they need to know so they can hit the ground running? We recorded a conversation that we had. And we made that available. We have a little clip of that later. And then you can educate other staff. You find new practices, programming ideas, things like that. That's why we think you should podcast. So my own personal podcast.
Personal.
Not affiliated with any library system. It's called Beer Bros and BS. So for my setup, we talk about craft beer. We talk about whatever's in the news, pop culture, anything that's going on now, and we set it up. I have my mixer. All the mics, we have about six guys on the show. We record at houses, breweries, bars, whoever will have us. This is not our current setup. We have extra things going in. All the mics are color-coded. Channels are leveled. Sound is great. But you don't need that to start out. You can start out with something as basic as this. And this is what we used. There's free software. Audacity, that's what I use. I could use GarageBand or whatever comes with the Macs. Very powerful. I prefer something easy and equally as powerful, in my opinion. You can build up. You'll see what it's like. You'll see the sound. You'll want to get it sounding better. And you'll get better at it. You probably know somebody in your staff that knows how to use these this stuff already. If you don't already have it, you probably already have the equipment. You just don't know about it.
So this is going to be my portion here. Notice the first one is the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. This is a sci-fi, nerdy, geeky, everything you want to know about what's going on in current news, movie reviews, TV shows, books. It's me. Literally, it's me. This was artwork that my wife found and just happened to look like me. So I use that as my cover for the podcast. Go ahead, and I'll show you my setup. So, with my laptop, there's Audacity in the background, there's my mixer, I have my daughter's headphones, and it's these microphones right here. That is my upgrade from what I've done before. But again, it's not about the equipment, it's more about you. What do you bring to that podcast? What is it going to make your voice, everyone else's voice, stand out? The whole point of my doing the podcast is that my co-host and I, that's all we do. We goof and have laughs and have a good conversation. That was the basis for the conversation of recording it. I started this with my master back in 2006. I recorded one podcast to do as a project, and I was going to market this. So I'm midnight, I'm recording a podcast, I'm taking care of my son, I'm trying to get back to sleep, and I'm recording my first podcast. I have no idea how I'm going to do this, except that I can talk about what I love, and that's science fiction stuff. So I talked about what was happening in Battlestar Galactica at that time, and then I talked about our reviews about what was the best villains of all time. So it was between my co-host, my wife, and we all had a good time doing that. I'm not going into this thinking that I'm going to make $1 million. I'm not. I'm not thinking I'm going to have 1 million listeners. If I'm entertained, that's all I care about. But I know one of you, some of you will actually will like what I'm talking about and actually become a subscriber. So let's go to the next one. Not to bring down the room, but when I was laid off, all that information that I had was gone. For a whole year, no one had what I knew. So I decided, let me work on my own library podcast, because that is what I would like to have happen for our library system, is that you have information, I want to preserve that information. If you go, we still have that information. We don't want to have brain drain and have to reinvent the wheel over and over again. Page 49 is because we stamp all the books on page 49. So that was the basis of it. So I looked at how I can use library resources and talk about it as a librarian. The start-off topic was about The Interview, a movie that came out with James Franco, Seth Rogen. So there was a graphic novel called Pyongyang by Guy Delisle, in which that was going to be a movie that Sony was going to produce with Steve Carell. So I'm like, oh, we have the graphic novel, so let me do a review about that. And in the process, use a lot of our resources to learn about Korea. I had no idea how screwed up Korea became from the war. All I know is about MASH. But because of my research, that became, to me, an interesting podcast. And I've used page 49 to do more library stuff. So if you want to go to the next setup, all of this is just a snowball globe. It's a USB mic, just me recording. Audacity, Fruit Loops not included. Content is what's more important than anything else. So we can realize anyone can do this, but it's you that makes the difference about that podcast. So let's go to the next one. When I got transferred to UMedia, I worked with Colin and helped get the podcast going. That was something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. And when we started, we had two kids watching Cloverfield, and we were going to do a podcast review of it. One of them left halfway through, so I'm like, all right, well, we'll try again. And we've tried different setups. We tried with reviewing, moving one day, and then 2 days later, come back and do the podcast. Only one come back the second day. So again, you're playing around with what can work for you. So we start doing workshops. Let's record something and edit. That sort of worked. But what came to be is that the teens became more engaged about being part of the process. And I'll show kind of a little successful start with that. Let's go to that setup. We got to the point that we went from no kids to having at least 12 to 15 kids at a time. We streamed it with the Canon T5. Thank you. And we had multiple camera setups. And then back there, same kind of setup. I was back in that corner because I had a pimple on my nose and I didn't want to be on camera. So we talked about random stuff, just pick three topics that everyone would talk about. And that was the podcast. And that was it. And from that point on, we've changed the configuration, we changed topics, and that has really helped us gain a real good traction with teens. And then finally, with our branch, we're engaging to do more podcasts internally. What David talked about is that we had the setup for those that were at the meeting. We just gave a piece of advice. I recorded everyone's information, and then I edited it into one big podcast so that whenever there was a new hire, listen to the podcast. We shared information that each person had, their own different experience. And in some cases, they're contradicting each other. Some will say, you know, the best way to engage students would be find something you like to do and do that. Or find something that the teens want to do and do that. There was no one better or the other. It's just a matter of what works for you. Just listen to what you have, and then you decide. But again, if you're new to this system, we have something to at least give you a good start.
Okay. So my podcast is called Librarians Assemble. If you want to just switch it real quick, we can see. I probably, now you saw those fancy layouts, that's my layout. I have one little Meteorite mic and my MacBook. I use GarageBand to do my editing only because I didn't really know about Audacity when I started. So, and now I've gotten familiar with that. And I never want GarageBand to update on my computer so that I don't have to learn anything new. So for my experience, I got into it because I'm a librarian and I'm a nerd and I like comics and comic book related things. And I know a lot of other librarians out there like that stuff too. So I basically met these two guys doing the podcast. I met people from across the country. And we basically talk about comics and what we do in our libraries related to that passion. And, you know, I found out about the different cons people have done in their libraries, different displays they've made. And it's been really fun. And a lot of it's done with just me. I don't record on a glass table anymore. I would highly not recommend that to anyone. That was a episode 2 mistake. That was a day 1 mistake right there. But what I do is I use Skype. I Skype in with the people that I'm going to record. There's a little add-on you can add on to Skype. Sometimes it doesn't work. We learned that recently. But for the most part, it works fine if you have, good wireless. And that's it. I also do another podcast that I do with some friends that I think we'll hear a clip about later. But this one is one that I'm really hoping to get off the ground again. I took a little break recently. And I will recommend that, I think we may have already touched on this, the key to podcasting is doing it on a regular basis. So everything I do is the wrong way to do it. Don't record on glass. Don't do it infrequently. Make sure you have a set time that's supposed to come out, either every week, every month, something that people can remember, so that when you are trying to get your foothold in a sea of podcasts, there's something to help these people remember. I did some research before, and I think it was like Monday mornings are the best time for podcasts to be released. So naturally, I think I release mine on like Fridays. So obviously, don't listen to me. I'm just here for like morale, I think, is kind of why I'm here. All right, so now we're going to talk about the different types of podcasts. So what we mean by internal to internal is librarian to librarian, pretty much. Like I was just talking about mine. I talk to other librarians. My co-host used to work at a comic book shop, so I would get her kind of intake from that versus, you know, what we could see at libraries.
We're going to play a clip from your...
Let's hear my turn.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 1 of Librarians Assemble. I'm your host, Josh Stone. Librarians Assemble is hopefully going to be a bi-weekly podcast about libraries and comics.
Hopefully.
More specifically, it's about librarians who are passionate about comics and how they use that passion in their field. I've been a lifelong comic fan and worked in libraries pretty much forever.
One of the things that I wanted to do, I invited these guys to do a podcast with me. Batman vs. Superman was coming out, and what better way than to tackle that topic as to who would win a fight, which was, I still disagree with these guys. But we talked about what kind of library materials can we recommend to our patrons about it? So with our collective knowledge and good conversations, that's what we had about. And I'll just, again, play a little quick intro to this.
In the Great Hall of the Page 49 podcast, there are several. Three greatest podcasters created from cosmic legends in the library universe. Josh from the Librarians Assembles podcast. Dave from the Beer, Bros, and BS podcast. And me, Montgomery, from the Page 49 podcast. The Librarian from the Library and the Street. Our mission? To talk about Batman and Superman. To recommend library materials to new fans. And to serve library patrons of all kinds.
So, if you know me, I barely talk. And for me to do that kind of thing, that kind of acting...
We had to wait 45 minutes just for the notes.
So again, if you have like... And you know you have like-minded people that work with you. You guys have great conversations. Make that the basis of your podcast. And then...
So, I don't have one piece of advice. There's a couple of things I would do. First, congratulations, you're in YA. At least you're not in children's. I don't want to be the one to tell you that. Congratulations, you got it good now. But with that, you have to actually work. You have to get out there. You have to talk to the students. You have to go to the schools. You're going to have to go on and on, finding the teachers, media specialists, get them into your building. Once you do, they'll usually stay.
Okay, so again, that's just part of a larger conversation that we all had. The next one is going to be internal to external, so we're talking about us as librarians talking to the patrons themselves. So with U Media, we were lucky enough to get an author to come down to South Dade Region Library, and we did a video
that
setup.
That kind of person.
In which teams talked about her book called American Street. This is Evie is a Boy. And this was streamed. And it's now captured on YouTube. So anyone can watch this.
Stuff is just a matter of writing it down. And it doesn't have to be pretty sentences or pretty metaphors from the start. It's just like...
So that's one example of what you can do as a podcast. In this case, it's a video podcast. So it's the exact same kind of setup. So I'm just playing audio. We also have a video component.
This is Lord Vader. I have an important message for the Miami Dade Public Library System. I feel a disturbance in the force, which means that summer is just around the corner. Join me for the 2017 summer reading program and bring order to the galaxy. Just visit your nearest Miami Dade Public Library branch from Saturday, June 10th, through Saturday, August 5th, to sign up for the program. Together, we can build a better world through summer reading. It is your destiny. Everyone who registers will be able to...
So that was an outreach that I just did, thanks to Jennifer, who got in touch with me, to do a couple of promos, 30 seconds to a minute, to do a summer reading promo that we're going to play for all the 400 schools... for their morning announcements. Having done maybe an hour's worth of work, you can contact all those schools in one shot. If you want to think about working smarter, I can't think of a better way to have your information to be broadcast. Save yourself a trip. You don't have to go there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Save yourself gas. And how many people can you reach with one podcast? It's a lot more than one person can do on their own and for one school. And
the Sci-Fi Threads in his realistic stories.
This is another author who we had at Miami Beach. Unfortunately, we didn't have much of any attendance, and I felt really bad. So I contacted the author, and I had her do a Skype with me for 1 hour. Just whenever you're ready, I'll be ready. So I read the book super, super quick. It had super natural elements, which I liked. And that's the kind of thing of like, if you'd like a YA author, you can contact them. Say, I work at the library. Can you get spare time for 1 hour and I can record you as a podcast? That's your buy-in to get to any author you want to talk to. They will be willing to support you and the library. So I'm just thinking that we can easily do this. And when I was at West State, we had a comic book illustrator and this is before I even had an idea of let's try to make this a podcast. I interviewed him after he did his presentation, and that was the one thing I'm like, if he's going to come back one day, at least we can then promote him with a podcast. And if we had a video podcast back then we can play it on YouTube or our Facebook page. So again, it's a way of preserving what you have done before. So you don't want to, again, start over from scratch.
We've done internal, you know, your staff, you guys to your own staff. We've done your staff to the public. And then these are mostly our own personal podcasts where it's not really, definitely not library sanctioned. You do this on your own time. Talk about whatever topics you want, however setups you want, and you just go with it. Go ahead and play a clip of mine.
Welcome to episode 65 of Beer Bros BS, your home for pop culture, craft beer, and other BS. I'm David the Big Librarian.
JJ the Bell Chef.
Alex the King of Avocado.
Tony the Craft Beer Gooner.
Oui.
Jose.
Welcome to Comic Flops. We're talking about all the bad things in live action comic book history, and maybe even some actual bad comic books, because there's been quite a few. I am your kind of.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to finally do episode 100. I know you've been waiting for this for 1,000 years.
All right. And with this, if you go and play, one of the cool things that we did for May the 4th is that Dave joined us at New Media, and we talked about Star Wars May
this
the 4th.
It's going to take one person to answer, though we're going to be able to discuss it.
Right.
And if that team is wrong,
one person
will eat a tip.
And they have a 50-50 chance of getting a good flavor or a rotten flavor.
Do we get to pick the chicken or the chicken?
No. If you just pick it out of the box, don't look at it, eat it. If you get... All right, so this was something that was fun. We changed it up. We did Star Wars trivia with the Jelly Belly Bean Boozled, so you have the bad flavor. If you got it wrong, then it was really funny watching this on video. With the reactions.
Wasn't that fun knowing which jelly bean you might get?
Yeah. And this is the success that I talked about. These guys have done podcasts with us, and they always talk about music. They did their own podcast of their own will, their own time, and their own setup. So it paid off finally after a couple of years of just plugging away with podcasts. So if you decide to have a podcast program in your program, it's going to take time, but this is what it can look like. So if you can have those patrons preserve their information that they can share with all of us, then it's a win-win for all of us. I mean, we have so much content that we consume, we need to then turn that around and be creators of content. We can all do that.
Okay, so basically what it boils down to is how many people here work for libraries that have maker spaces, creation stations, things of that nature? You have recording equipment in there, right? When we started ours, when I worked at the Palm Beach County Library System, we started a creation station. One of the things we got was fancy mics, fancy USB mics, and we had like one person pretty much come in, start recording music. He told his friends. They told their friends. It was a shampoo commercial. Everyone started coming, and we do have people there who record regular podcasts. They don't have their own things. So that's one level of this. You can market it in your makerspaces as you can be a podcaster. You don't need to buy your own fancy equipment. You don't even need the not-so-fancy equipment. You can come to your library, schedule yourself an hour a day, do your podcast. If you are somebody who wants to reach an audience for yourself, like, you know, if you're really egotistical like the three of us and you think, well, I want people to hear what I have to say, you can do it on your own. You can get a USB mic. They're not very expensive. You mentioned the, you know, digital recorders. There's also better mics, better equipment that you can get to upgrade along the way. But the key is to know what you want to talk about. Find what it is that you think you're an expert in, or know you're an expert in. I'm sorry, you know you're an expert in it, and you want to share that knowledge with other people. When you have that, people will gravitate toward you. If you're passionate about what you are doing, you love what you're talking about, and you know what you're talking about, people will join you and they'll help you make your podcast. And 100 episodes, 65, which was probably 3 years ago.
71 up last night.
Yeah, see, so there you go. So
I'm not nowhere near these guys because I'm lazy, but if you are dedicated and you're good and you know what you're doing, you will find an audience. And even if you don't, you're not the next Pod Save America or the, you know, My Favorite Murder, you can still have a good following. Another benefit to this is it allows you to reach out and engage your community, like we saw the Miami-Dade Library does, the Palm Beach County Library System does. I'm sure there are other library systems out there that have their own podcasts. It's yet another way for you to interact with your community. It doesn't really cost anything. The equipment's already there. Even if you don't have a creation station or a makerspace, everyone has phones. I'm sure anyone could buy a little digital recorder. And you just make your own. To host them, you know, WordPress, you can get, you know, free spaces like that. There's Podbean. There are a lot of podcast directories out there. Some of them are free. Some of them cost a little bit of money. If you have your own website, you just basically take the RSS feed and load it into iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or any of the numerous places out there that people listen to podcasts now. It's really simple. You don't have to be a computer genius to do it. But most importantly, it's a great networking tool. Like I said when I was talking about my podcast, that's how I met these two people.
Yeah, you reached out to me to do your first episode.
Yeah.
And because we were friends on
Twitter. Yeah, we met through one of the conventions. I forget which one.
And I recorded his first episode, and I said, you know what? I have a coworker that would be good also for your show. Met and talked about this. What? I mean, this was over a year in the making.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of time. So you have an idea, and you're not sure how to do it. Kind of sketch out what you want your show to be. Listen to some podcasts. Figure out what you want your breakdown to be. Your first episodes are going to be very embarrassing. That's why I didn't want them playing my first one very long. But eventually you find your groove. You get more comfortable talking in front of a microphone. It's weird. Monty and myself, we do a lot of like podcasting on our own, and then we Skype people in. So it's a lot of just sitting alone in your room, talking into a microphone, feeling like a real weirdo, and then getting angry at the animals for making noise. So, I mean, that's basically what podcasting is. I think this was all just to tell you that podcasting is very embarrassing. But do it. It's a great way to meet people, and it's a great way to get your message or your library's message out into the community.
And it can be anything. I mean, your message can be anything from cataloging to knitting to programming to anything what you're passionate about. Anything. There is a podcast about that already.
And if there's not, you need to make it.
There's probably one.
How dare you undermine me?
So, if you have questions, and I hope you do, you can always email us, or you can follow us on our site. Easiest, you don't have to write it down, just text that information to us. Since we're recording this as a podcast, doing it live, I will have it ready for you, and then I'll text it out to you with the link about this whole podcast, so you can have that. So again, you can email us or text me, whatever you need, and we'll get that information out to you.
Or if you have questions now, you don't have to just text. You can ask questions now. That's it.
I'm going to embarrass myself by halfway and ask a very base question. How do you track how many people have used your podcast?
That's a good question.
There are different tools.
There's different tools you can use. For instance, for my personal podcast, I use SoundCloud. And from there, they create an RSS feed.
What's that called again?
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
It tracks your recordings, your listeners. It gives you all types of that I do have to pay for, but I think it's under $15 a month, maybe it's $15 a month, and it gives you all type of analytical data ranging from what cities you're listening to, what countries, how many people are subscribing to your RSS feed, and that can go from iTunes to any type of Android by sheer. In fact, it's on iTunes, like Podcast Addict, which is for the Android equivalent of iTunes podcast. Kodi-enabled devices, Microsoft beta app, you put it out there on one, and it goes out to everywhere else, and that tracks it for me.
For also, just jump on that real quick, I have Libsyn, so for $20 a month, I have a 400 megabytes capacity, but that gives me information as to who's listening, geographical-wise. I will know how much of my downloads. I will know if they're using iTunes, if they're using a browser, or whatever it is. So usually the paid
service will give you at least more information.
And Libsyn is one of the best for tracking that.
Yeah. But now, the problem lies, real quick, is that if you start a podcast, you can just leave it, but it's still counted as a download. So it's not 100% that I have 100 listeners. That means it just started, and that was it.
And it's there may be something else that's free out there, but that's what I've been using for so long that, like, Josh doesn't want to upgrade his GarageBand. I'm very comfortable with, you know, with how we're getting out there, with our amount of listens. I'm very okay with that. But there might be something else free and just as good. There's lots of free out there.
Could you give us any examples of how podcasting has been used or could be used in an academic library setting?
I haven't come across any, but I'm sure.
You could use it, depending on it, maybe in archives, if you guys have, like, oral histories.
Oh, great.
Something like that.
Which is what we're looking to do for Miami-Dade Public Library for Spanish Heritage, to do kind of like a StoryCorps type of model.
You could also do introductory reference classes, things like that. Instead of having to have an instructional library, you might be able to source that out to a few librarians, make it a mandatory download.
I think
download.
Seflin would be happy to help out.
Or in a library orientation, of course. Like asynchronous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I saw another hand somewhere.
Okay.
Yes, let's so go. I am going to start a podcast program with the teams at my library. What is the length of the podcast that you recommend to do it with teams?
I did some research a while ago, and 15 minutes to 30 minutes is like the ideal.
Yeah. Okay.
So naturally, again, the recurring theme is mine have tended to be 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But honestly, in this day and age when there's so much out there, 15 to 30 minutes, but most podcasts are about an hour.
And I would say, and it also depends upon the amount of people in the podcast.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I'm not going to lose. I'll be here.
Always worry about me.
Yeah.
What's up?
What is the added value of using the mixer as opposed to just using Audacity or GarageBand?
It's just that I can add more microphones. The USB is good for one person, and I can have a voice in front, a voice in back, but that's it. If I want to have three or four people, I have space with two other microphones that can plug in. So that's the benefit. So that's the upgradability.
Yeah, if you're recording with more than two people and you have USB mics, it's hard. Not just because of the number of ports on your computer, but the lag that it will, you know, because it's just a driver installing and the lag that happens. So if you're recording with like three or more people, you want a mixer or some kind of device to hook up more, what are they called, XLR mics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can also use three-quarter inch
mics.
Personally, my opinion on using a mixer is I have a 12-channel mixer, which means I can have 12 different inputs. So the most I've ever had on my podcast at one time is 9 people. If you talk to people, you'll know. I'm sure you know somebody that talks like this. They're a little talker. Some people project. They just project well no matter what setting they're in. And with that mixer, you can adjust the mic volume, the gain, make sure you pick up more or less depending upon the person. Yes. Right there, right in front.
So Zeppelin has devices and technology that it lends to libraries to play around. Is this something that could be considered like a mic head or something?
I have been on the job for 3 weeks now. It is something that I want to do. I want to make like a portable podcasting kit. We have currently a digitization kit. If any library is working on digitizing their collection, we have stuff for that. But for smaller libraries that might not be able to build a makerspace, I would like to put together a podcasting.
Yeah, just to even try and get a feel for it before they commit to buying.
Right now, I do know in the office we do have probably enough to get started. So talk to me. I'm hoping to get that off the floor. You've been putting your hand up a lot.
That's okay. How much is the digital recorder? Like if you just wanted to do a low tech.
$35.
That's it?
$30.
And you can hook it up to your phone or your iPad?
No. That one, you'd have to plug it into a computer.
Computer, okay.
Anything
not an iPad, though.
No.
Okay.
Surface Pro 3.
I use my iPhone as a backup microphone, too. And I've used that, since I don't want to carry all this, I use that and then convert it online. to an MP3 file and then good to go.
So I just want to mention what opened me up to the idea of podcasting, and I've been using, I'm over programming for the library system for Memory Data, and I've been calling on Monty to do all kinds of marketing for me. But what opened me up to the idea was, which you didn't mention, was this idea of using an app like Erasma, where you can do a book display, and when there's a little QR code, you can put your phone up to it, and it's not just sound, it's video also, but you can make, you can do a book talk. So like if you're walking through the teen section and you have a little QR code next to the book and you put your phone, if you have the app, it tells you a story about the book or it gives you a book talk. So that's what opened my mind to it, and then Monty was way ahead of me, he was already doing all this stuff, so I think it's great.
Again, how many times I would love to join a book talk that I'm like, I can't travel. Well, if someone recorded it, I at least, if I read the book, I can listen to the conversation and still have some kind of feeling that I was part of the conversation. And that's the whole thing, is that you want to be that fly on the wall. It's like, you want to hear that conversation. Whatever that is that gets you so excited and it brings a smile to your face, or it's interesting and you learn something, that's the kind of thing that you want, is to be a content creator. Questions?
Yeah, my question is with the digital recorder. Can you use it for several people as well? Or
yes, it's recording now. The mic on that is pretty good.
Yeah.
After listening to it, you'll hear a lot of static, but I'll be able to use Audacity and clean it up.
Also, you can.
And make it sound a lot cleaner.
Okay. And it gives you the same.
It won't give me the same quality as if I were to stand here and within the space of this mic to pick it up, but it is very decent. You can check episode 69.5 of mine, and I used that because I didn't have all my equipment. And
because it's portable, and you can maybe walk around the library and just have a talk with student and book talk or discussion, like he's mentioned.
Absolutely.
And we can have that on the spot right away.
Yep.
So it won't be prepared.
Yep.
And then we can post this on the website.
Exactly. And it, when you connect it to your computer, it saves it as an MP3. And, I mean, if you don't want to use any of the audio editing software, there's tons out there for that.
Before we go, though, anybody would like to be on Librarians Assemble, you like comments or anything like that, please feel free to email me if you ever want to be a guest.
I was just going to ask you, how do I get on one of your shows?
You can email me right there if you want. You
know. Thank you.
And if you want to be on any of my podcasts, just go to any of the craft beer bars.
They'll be there.
County.
Be there.
Or any breweries in South Florida, they've heard of them.
If there are no other questions, it's time for lunch.
Yeah.
Thank you.